Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt and Sprague.
1 second's been put back on the clock, so 4 seconds left. 52-yarder. Myers from the left hash mark. Chris Stoll does the snap it. Michael Dixon puts it down. Jason Myers, the kick is on the way. And the kick is up. And the kick is good! And the Seahawks win the game!
Andy Dirt Johnson. Brandon Sprague. Yeah!
That is perfect.
320 carries, no problem for Bryson. Look at that. That's how you get the crowd going.
That is unbelievable. That just shows you that the tone for Forsons. That is an incredible shot. Got to give him that credit.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1, The Fan and the Fan Sports Network.
Red 85, Fat Hut.
Get out your shotgun. So I'm gonna throw some ducks tonight.
Let's go now. Let's have a game today, baby. Let's go. Let's go, fellas. Have a game today. Let's go now.
Blue 85.
I like my boys happy. I like my boys happy.
Here we come. Here we come. It's a man's game now.
Yes. Here we go.
Happy Football Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
How we feeling?
Feeling fantastic, other than the United States getting ran out of the state of New York right now. Other than that, we're feeling great.
I'd argue you should feel good. You've called this. You predicted it.
I mean, look, I'm going to be happy winning money because I got a ticket on Team Europe getting plus money. I don't think the United States is going to win, but to be down this big, this early, right out of the gate in morning foursomes is a rough start. Can we get Russell Henley the hell off of the Ryder Cup team immediately? Your guy, Colin Morikawa, I think I'm a better putter than Colin Morikawa. Easy. Hot take to start the show today.
Chocolate
I can make more
putt.
Feet and putts than Colin Morikawa can at a Ryder Cup.
You can make more feet and putts.
Yes.
That's an interesting phrasing.
How many feet and putts did you make it around? How many putts? What's your distance?
I don't know.
You don't count that?
You're a big foot guy, huh?
Big foot guy. You got to count your feet, man.
All right.
They're getting smoked right now.
Yeah, but
Happy Friday,
I'm confused why you seem so fired up. You
well,
said
look, it's
this was going to happen,
it's
and now you're...
It's still a pride thing.
Like, waving the flag in anger.
You can't lose a Ryder Cup on home soil. You just can't.
But you literally said
look,
they were
I
going to.
I will happily
to.
Tell you that I was right on Monday. It doesn't change the fact that they're getting housed this early on. They're down 4 in one match. They're down 3 in another. Rahm and Hatton are hitting balls out of God knows where and landing them on the green
and
early.
And they can't take a lead.
John Rahm was in like knee-high grass and landed a ball on the green
That's
in the USA. Couldn't
shot.
Win a hole.
JT's missing five-footers.
JT's missing five-footers. He's missing the green from like a buck 50 out, leaving it short in a greenside bunker.
It's now flipped. Europe officially the favorite at minus 105. They were plus
170. What time did we tee off this morning?
4:10 a.m.
So we've been going for 2 hours and they've already been flipped from favorite to underdog. And look, I'm going to be happy about winning money, but also very upset with Team USA Golf. The situation of our country's golf is very frustrating right now.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, come on. Russell Henley, what are we doing?
Did we win? Who won the last one? Europe?
Europe won the last one in Europe. We killed him at Whistling Straits 4 years ago.
So, like, it's just gone how traditionally it's gone.
Not losing on home. You can't. Home soil is different. This is different. This is like when the Civil War was won every year by the home team. When you guys broke through and won the Civil War in Autzen, it was a big deal. That was the end of the streak because it had been like 10 years since it had happened.
You think George Washington freaked out the first month of the
the campaign?
Yeah, the Revolutionary
Before
War.
Before he crossed the Delaware. I think he probably was freaking out.
I don't know,
out,
man. Yeah. The Brits are up pretty big right now. We can't do this.
I mean, the consequences for losing that war were pretty grave for old George Washington. So, yeah, I'd imagine he was a little concerned about
Can
the status.
Somebody hang some lanterns yeah. in the old North Church. Yeah. Let's go.
Can somebody we get two lanterns if they're coming by sea here? Come on, Paul Revere.
George.
George.
What about the militias?
Your
countryside.
We need you, George.
Just it's early.
I'm just fired up today. It's Football Friday to begin with. Ryder Cup, great start. Bryson hits a bomb at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm juiced up, ready to go, and a little frustrated with what my country's doing right
I'm
now.
I'm getting that vibe from you. You yeah. seem a little amped right now.
Yeah.
A little like
I got up earlier than normal, more caffeine than normal. Mm. You know. We're feeling good today.
Also, Kyle Korver amount of days from the Trailblazers tipping off their NBA season.
Going there.
Who could forget Kyle Korver?
Look, you can
one of the
say
all-time great
want.
Three-point shooters.
You could say Kermit Washington, who donned the number 26 once upon a time.
Yes.
He did.
Kyle Korver's career is the best number 26 to ever exist in NBA history. Mm. He's top 10 in three-pointers made.
Yes.
He's top 10 in three-point percentage. He's an all-star. He's the best number 26 to ever wear that number in NBA yeah. history.
How dare you disrespect James Robinson, Blazers legend?
Oh, James Hollywood Robinson?
Spencer Dinwiddie? The disrespect.
Wop Reith?
Slapping the...
Justice Winslow? I mean, we have big number 26s on our area.
Do Wop Reith is 26?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, he is.
I would have never told you that.
Yeah.
Isaiah Thomas? Oh, no, that's 26th overall.
Yeah,
in NBA.
Yeah, yeah. You're looking
my,
at draft
My apologies. But James James Robinson, I do remember. That was like right in my wheelhouse as a kid, as a Blazer.
As you heard from the open there, Bryson DeChambeau doing what we call a Danny Meringue, carrying 320 rather easily.
That doesn't take that much effort.
I mean, who can't carry 320?
It's all in the hips.
It's all in the hips.
Yes. They won the opening hole.
I mean, it was the perfect start Nothing because it, he was there was videos of him this week driving or trying to drive the green on the first hole and the yeah. crowds feeding into it. And so you knew it was he was going to be the first guy out of the gate. Like you want the big firework shot right off the bat to get the crowd going. Right. And he hit an absolute piss missile, like just a perfect tee shot. He walks in a birdie putt. Vibes are great. And ever since then, it is at the side of a mountain.
So you're not happy with the start of this Ryder Cup tournament. I'm also kind of curious, like, what would you change?
Playing better, not having Russell Henley on the team.
Yeah, why isn't
Xander Schauffele making a putt?
JJ Spahn should be playing today.
Yeah.
He should be playing in one
So
of
that's the big one is JJ Spahn being on the bench is pissing us off.
I mean, I still maintain I wish
Not
Keegan Bradley would have played.
Too.
I wish Keegan Bradley would have been on the team. And I know that was a controversial take for some. The captain shouldn't play. And that whole debate that we had for months on end in the golf bubble world that we live in. But I would take him and his passion for this event and the trust in him stepping up to the occasion over half of these guys that are playing right now.
Really?
I absolutely would. Scottie Scheffler's got a bit of a problem going on now. I know it's alternate shot, so it's not all his fault. He's not getting a ton of help from his teammate. But remember 2 years ago in Rome when Ludwig Oberg made him cry as like a 19-year-old kid, eliminating him on like the 12th hole? Like, he's got a bit
Thanks
of a,
for coming.
See you later, buddy. We're not even playing 15 holes today, and you've already been eliminated. He's got a bit of a problem going right now. He's not stepping up. He's the number one player in the world, and he's got to play like it.
Yeah, well, I think young Bobby McIntyre is going to be giving it to the U.S. fans a lot this weekend.
Yes, I think so, too.
Well, for those not in the know as much maybe about this tournament or the golfers involved because they casually follow the sport and only tune into major championships, give me the optimistic viewpoint from the USA. Outside of the slow start and the bad start, what's the optimistic view to, like, help people want to care on Saturday, Sunday?
Well, it's
going to
be close.
Forward.
Like, no matter what, I think it'll end up being, because it usually ends up evening out. Like, there's waves where teams will win a chunk in one session, and then it'll kind of bounce back. Even USA did that in Italy, where there were moments where you're like, or Rome, I guess that is in Italy, where they're like, hey, there's a little bit of a comeback coming here by the United States, and then in the end, it's ultimately not enough. So I think it'll be competitive going into Sunday. I just think that from top to bottom, the talent on their roster is significantly better than ours and more trustworthy as well.
You know, the optimistic is Keegan only played one of his four rookies in this morning for foursome session.
I don't know if he thought he was protecting him. There's some thought you get him right out there, you get him the experience, maybe a little adrenaline flow.
The fresh meat thing, yes.
And get into, sink your teeth into it rather than putting him out this afternoon if you're down 3-1.
And saying, we really need you to perform.
go do something.
Points. So there's that. I thought, you know, Ben Griffin and J.J. Spahn at the end of the season were two of the best players in the world. And I would have loved to see them out there. Now, whether you pair rookies with veterans to kind of help them, you know, absorb it, or you put two rookies out there and say,
let's see,
hey, go get it. Don't hold back. But yeah, I would, I would have had some different groupings. I would not have had, Shoffley out there.
So here's my counter to that, though. Like, if he does do what you suggest and he starts the rookies and they're crapping the bed right now, you're going, why would you start the rookies? You should come
without
out the
a
game
doubt.
With
we'll
the
Monday
experience.
Morning quarterback this either way. Like, if whether it works or not, we'll Monday morning quarterback.
It's literally a lose lose situation for a captain.
Well, unless those rookies would have played well, and then we would have said, see, that's why you play the rookies.
Yeah,
this
but
is
it's,
why you do it.
Yeah, right. So unless they play their best golf,
right.
It's not a good decision.
You got to nut up right now, man. Yeah. Your back's against the wall right out of the gate early this morning. They got some guys that are nails, man. Like Tommy Fleetwood has been nails in Ryder Cups. Rory McIlroy was unbelievable 2 years ago. He's been outstanding early on.
Matthew Fitzpatrick.
It's just been, I mentioned the Hatton and the Rahm team and what they've done and the shots that they've pulled off. Like they got some dudes right now, as Anthony Newman would say. We don't got enough dudes on our squad.
I still think the best shot I've ever seen hit in my life, I can't remember the tournament, but it was Jordan Spieth on the literal side hill in 9-foot grass, and he swung and he almost fell down the hill.
That was it, the 4 years ago at Whistling Straits. The chip shot he hit up,
God.
Like the side, and he almost fell into the water.
Dude,
he ran backwards.
It's the best
And then
golf
Justin
shot.
Thomas made the putt.
Yeah.
They were the bros of Team USA.
That was the Ryder Cup?
That was the Ryder Cup 4 years ago.
That was the best shot I've ever seen hit in my life in the sport of golf. That Rahm shot, you need to go look this up. He is in like 9 foot tall.
Can't see the ball.
We wouldn't be able to hit the ball if we
It's a little muddy there too because it rained all day yesterday.
Well, and this just lands it within like 13 feet of the pin. It's unbelievable.
That's the beauty of, and it's one of the reasons why I wish there were more match play events out there is because when you have, because I believe the Team USA was already on the green at that point. I think Team USA went first on their second shot. So they hit one on the green. And then if you're playing stroke play and that's John Rahm's ball, what's he probably doing in that situation?
Probably pitching out.
Just chip one into the fairway. Yeah. Let's save a bogey and just get out of the next hole. We're in a terrible spot, but it's match play. They're already on the green.
If you lose the hole, doesn't matter if you lose by one stroke or eight.
You could swing and miss. It doesn't matter. You might as well try and get it up there. And what does he do? He hits it inside 10 feet.
Crazy. Like,
it just creates shots and opportunities that guys have to be aggressive. And if it doesn't work out, you lose a hole and you move on to the next hole. That's the beauty of match play.
It's going to be, if I'm being honest with you guys, we get going today on a football Friday.
Your Ryder Cup juice is flowing. No, slight flow.
Yeah, they're never going to flow to your flow.
That's okay.
Levels.
That's okay.
You guys are psychotic about this event.
I love this.
Ryan
event.
Lischka is psychotic about this event.
Yeah, it's
you
good.
Have an entire group chat of humans that are psychotic about. I don't know if I know
I'm
another
doing
person
a special
in my life.
1 hour
that
show
this.
Tomorrow.
He's coming in to work
event.
Extra for free.
Yeah.
You always do that show.
Not anymore. Golf show's been done.
Oh,
man.
I guess the season
it's
is over.
Football yes. season, but yeah, with the Ducks late tee time, I said, "Yo, Dusty,
the Ducks late tee time."
My mind's on golf right now.
Everything's a tee time.
Can we get
yeah,
is it a flop shot Friday?
It is
it's a flop shot
it's
Friday.
It's definitely a flop
okay,
shot Friday.
The U.S. needs to hit some flop shots right now.
What I was going to say though is
lefty when you need him.
Outside of you guys and a few of our listeners who are golf sickos and whoever's in your orbit that's also a golf, I don't know how much this is going to pull my attention through the weekend.
Oh, I don't blame you at all. That's okay. I mean, I get it. There's a lot going on this weekend.
It will be nice. It'll be.
It's the final weekend of Major League Baseball regular season, so you're wanting to see seeding. I mean, that's
so
not
much
for
I
you.
Don't care about.
Not for you, but I'm saying for general sports fans. It might be the best college football Saturday we've had in my lifetime.
The ranking matchups are pretty tasty.
We are in that territory, and there's some great matchups on Sunday,
and the NFL is the NFL.
The NFL's king. So I don't. If this isn't hitting your bingo card, I don't blame anybody for that happening. I would just say, like, this afternoon, if you're watching or if you're sitting around looking for something to do and you're not sure about the event, turn it on for a little bit. Like, the atmosphere and the vibe. The crowd thing that we always talk about in golf, like, why aren't the crowds more rowdy? Why can't you cheer? Why can't you boo? Like, that's what this event is.
And you're in New York.
They're going to heckle the hell out of the European teams when you're on road soil. There's a challenge there. So it's a home and road true thing that you don't often get in the sport of golf. The passion, the guys are playing for
the
team.
And then you got the goofy Europeans that come over, the defenders of the cup.
Right, where so they're weird
outfits. You can't
outfit.
Miss those guys out there.
So if you're sitting around this afternoon looking for something to watch, turn it on. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
I'll wear that this weekend.
Yeah, I'm wrong.
Red, white, and blue. Yes. You wear it all weekend.
Yeah.
Loaded Football Friday show. We have a lot to dive into. Let's start. We had NFL last night. And of course it ended the way it ended. Like, of course, instead of it just being what it felt like, an absolute blowout, it somehow ends in typical Cardinal Seahawk in Arizona fashion.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about that. We'll start. We got a lot of NFL to get to that we didn't talk about yesterday. I got college football. My Beavs are playing tonight.
You got a game day today.
Oregon, obviously, at Penn State. We got some audio we need to play. It is a loaded show. Thank you for hanging with us. Let's start NFL next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Steve Rabel on the call, heard here on 105.1 The Fan, home of the Seahawks. They get a road win last night in Glendale, beat the Cardinals 23-20. A game that didn't feel like it would be dramatic. Of course, because it's in Arizona, became dramatic.
Yes. You know what that game reminded me of? You know the picture that gets shown sometimes of, like, there's a horse and the first, like, 70% of it's drawn by, like, a five-year-old. And then the last half, like,
I think you're thinking the reverse.
Is it the reverse?
It looks like an amazing portrait.
Yes, and then the end of it, or the start of it, whatever. That was that game last night. The first 80% of that game was one of the worst football games I've ever watched in my entire life. And then the last 20% of it was like, hey, it actually got interesting. How about that?
It's 14-3 at the half. We had two interceptions. We had drop passes. The Cardinals literally were doing nothing on offense. They barely had 100 yards.
And then the Seahawks kept shooting themselves in the foot with penalties.
Yes, settling for field goals, not finishing drives.
Maybe been up three touchdowns at
some point. Well, the Charbonnet touchdown should have happened. Yes. Smith and Jigba didn't need to hold.
No.
He did. And then
it should have been 28-3 essentially at the end of the third quarter. Instead, it's only 20-6. And you're like, you know what? They're actually still in this game. And then all of a sudden, Arizona remembered how to play offensive football.
Yeah, did they? Or did the Seahawks just kind of sleepwalk and then go, oh my God, they're only down a score. And then, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. can catch footballs again.
He decided to catch the ball after leading to an early interception. He decided to use his hands later in the game.
I think he finally figured out he was never going to see the ball again if he didn't start catching one.
I still, like, I know it ended well for him.
Yeah, I'm out.
You're still kind of walking away going,
two guys. Was Thomas in that same draft, Brian Thomas? Were they the same draft
Brian
together?
Thomas Jr.,
That's two guys in the same draft that I'm just, no thank you.
You're out on Brian Thomas Jr.?
Dude, I am done with Brian Thomas
Pretty great rookie year.
I'm done with him more so than I am Marvin Harrison because he looks skittish and afraid to get hit, and you can't do that as a wide receiver. Marvin Harrison's just been kind of funky ever since. Remember his whole, like, jersey thing of not signing his Fanatics deal or whatever it was?
He wouldn't talk to anybody
either. It just, the whole thing about his debut in the NFL was very strange, and I would have had the mindset of, why don't I just make it and then I'll deal with all that other stuff? And he went the other way, and it's been a rough year for him. I know he had a couple big catches late, but that was ugly early.
How would you power rank these receivers? So Brian Thomas Jr. went 23rd.
Okay.
Roma Dunze.
God, he hasn't been great either.
He's actually had a nice
He's having
season.
A better year, yeah, but he wasn't
rookie
great.
Rookie year wasn't great.
No.
Neighbors, Harrison Jr. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody.
That's got to be it, right? Neighbors was the first wide receiver off the
board. Oh, Xavier Worthy, Pearsall, and Xavier Leggett. Those were all the receivers picked in that draft. How would you power rank
them? I mean, Neighbors has to be number one. I think I'd go Neighbors one. God, two is
Pearsall
tough.
Second?
He could be second.
I mean, I know. See, he doesn't have enough of a sample size. He didn't really play that much.
Well, it wasn't his fault he got
he
shot.
Got shot. Yeah, I'm not saying it's his fault.
Why don't you stop getting shot, Ricky? Get your ass out there.
Xavier Worthy's had a nice start, but
he's had a nice start.
You can't. It's to lose games for that reason.
Right.
What happened? I ran into a big teammate.
Yeah, that one's tough.
Xavier Leggett's done nothing.
To your point on Odunze, through three games, he has just over 200 yards and four touchdowns. He leads him in every category. Yeah. Chicago.
He stepped up pretty big for them.
I think
so
I'll
far.
Go fine. I'll go Odunze two. I think I go Pearsall three.
Okay. I think Thomas should still be. I wouldn't give up on that.
There are some scary highlights out there of him this season that I don't know if you can cross over that mental hurdle. Like, he's having balls that he can catch in the end zone and, like going in the fetal position on the ground instead of catching the ball.
Bad drop against Cincinnati that would have maybe gotten him close to icing the game.
Yes.
I totally hear you. Xavier Leggett, and then...
Has he done anything? I mean,
yeah,
I
feel like I don't see his or hear his name at all.
I don't either.
T-Mac is already their best receiver.
Yes, that's why I don't...
I think we hear his audio clips more than we do watch his highlights.
You guess how many catches he has this year?
Leggett?
Yeah.
Four?
Yes.
Is it?
He has four catches for 8 yards.
I couldn't tell you when and what games those came in, but...
Last year, he had 497 yards and four touchdowns. Like, in his defense, their offense was so bad last year.
Well, he doesn't have a quarterback.
He doesn't have a quarterback, so that makes things a little more challenging. And that's what I would say for Neighbors, too. Like, I think Neighbors has the ability to be a true
Neighbors is
standout number
stuck
one.
Out despite the quarterback stuff.
But that's the thing of, like, if he ever got a quarterback, how what could his numbers look like if he played with...
Agree.
Insert elite quarterback here. His numbers would be exponentially better.
Yeah, so last night, I mean, you know, Seahawks get the win. That's the most important part, is you get the dub. It's a road win. It's a divisional opponent. Like we saw last week, Arizona's never going to be a team that you pick or that you trust. But they are like an annoying team because some games they'll just roll over and die and put up no fight. And then randomly they'll be like, you're in a dogfight with them and Kyler's picking up a first down with his legs. And like, what's happening here? I know this team isn't good. They just... I had the fan on my car when I was on my way in, and so before I turned the podcast on, that I try to peruse the podcast landscape before I come in.
Yeah,
I had it on, and they're doing this like, I don't know, it's year seven, might not be Kyler, and I just like, you're already doing segments about how it's not Caleb, and it's the second year new coach, advanced system,
right?
Which maybe he's not. But I find it odd how some quarterbacks, and it kind of maybe tells me more that you don't watch the Cardinals at all.
No, they're just out of sight, out of mind, because nobody cares about the Cardinals.
And when they get these random Thursday games, you're forced to do a segment on them, because I don't know how you're in year seven still wondering.
Is he the guy? I don't know if he's the guy. You think he's the guy?
Pretty clear he's not. He has to throw off his back foot half the time. He can't see the field.
No.
He scrambles. Like, I don't know, man. Marvin Harrison isn't great. We know Kyler Murray's not the guy, but yet the Cardinals and some media members are still like, I don't know, man. He might be. He might not be.
Yeah, look, the answer is he's not it. I was debating this with buddies last night during the game because they looked so inept offensively for the first, three quarters. They couldn't get a first down. It was three and out, three and out, three and out. He threw two picks. One of them wasn't his fault, but it was just an ugly, ugly game.
Almost had another one that would have been his fault.
We also, we were debating, where does Kyler Murray rank in the pantheon of NFL quarterbacks? And one of my buddies said he's a bottom 3 to 5 guy in the league in terms of starting quarterbacks, and I'm like, I don't know talent. I wouldn't say that talent wise, but when you combine who he is as a quarterback with what his contract is, then he's unquestionably a bottom five guy for me. His cap hit this year is $43 million.
It's crazy.
Like, there's just, it's the one reality in the NFL where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I get it, but if you have to pay a run of the mill quarterback, elite quarterback money, you have no chance at winning.
None.
You just don't.
That's what makes the Darnold deal so good.
Yes.
I think he can be a top 15.
I'd rather have Darnold with his
guy deal
over Kyler Murray. It's not even close. I'd rather have Justin Fields in his contract over Kyler Murray. He's paying him $43 million a year, and he's not that much better.
Yeah, but if you spend the money in other places, which quarterbacks suck, like, it really sucks, and I don't think Kyler's amazing.
I'm not advocating you're going to win a ton with Justin Fields, but I'd rather pay him $10 million a year than pay $50 million a year for Kyler Murray. He was an incredible athlete early in his career, ran a ton. I feel like that's gone down a little bit in years past because he's been more banged up and a little more cautious. I know his rushing numbers weren't terrible, but like, his second year in the league, he ran for almost 1,000 yards and had 11 rushing touchdowns. And then he started to have those season-ending injuries. And when you take that aspect of his game away and he's not as dynamic with his legs, you're left with an undersized quarterback that can't see the entire field.
I think we love to say, we always, like, everybody, nationally, locally, everybody that talks about the Cardinals, when they rarely do, it's always like, well, we know he's talented. I mean,
he's fine.
For his size, sure. Like taking away the size aspect of that guy's career is wild to me. Like, we know he's talented. Right. He's 5'9".
Yeah.
He's got tiny legs, tiny hands. Yeah,
how many passes
read the field.
Got batted down yeah, dude, last
like,
night?
That's part of who he is. Like, just, well, he's got a big arm, Sprague, and he's kind of fast. He's athletic. Yeah, no crap. But he's 5'9", and he can't read a field. He's a starting quarterback. That has to be part of the conversation.
Yes, yes, it does.
I thought yesterday, despite kind of how it ended, you know, these are games that if you're a Seahawk fan, you're feeling... One, you're feeling amazing because they won. They didn't choke the game away.
Yeah, you just take them one on Thursday night.
I still think it's a team that's learning to win, right? Like, the coach is still relatively new. You say what you want, but, like, still relatively new. The defense largely played pretty well. That, Darnold made some passes. JSN continues to have almost, you know, he no-showed in most of that game, and that's not his fault. I think the coverage did that. But then he comes up big with big catch after big catch. The running game appears to look good. Like, I know the Cardinals are banged up defensively, but I still think that's a really good defense. And so I think if you're a Seahawks fan, no matter how it ended, you got the dub, and your team learned to win a game on the road together.
Never going to nitpick a Thursday night game on the road.
No, you should never do
never.
That. That's
and
a good
the Seahawks,
question.
And they're not forcing it. I think that's the main thing with the offense trying to get desperate with Kubiak. Darnold's not forcing any issues right now. Like, that stat line for him, if you could get that.
That's exactly what they want him to do, is be 18-26 for 242 and a
no
tutty with a 9.3
Don't
average.
Turn it over.
He had one throw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One. But he got away with it, and
sometimes
that happens
you
to
get
quarterbacks.
Lucky, for
absolutely.
Sure.
And then, you know, when we need to make a throw, he had a couple late to Jaxon Smith-Njigba. There was the one when they were backed up after the punt. He dropped it in the bucket, and then he had the one on the final drive to get him into field goal. Give me two or three of those where you just step back and rip one, and the rest of the time distribute the ball to the open guy.
I liked when he used his legs early in that first
half.
He's
like,
he took that run. The
lane
was
there. A little hesitant, but he's like, oh, my God, there's nobody I can run forever.
He's sneaky quick.
He's athletic. He doesn't get enough credit for his ability to move around.
And you can see they're all still sort of processing it together. You know, with Kubiak, and, you know, it's not a finished product by any means, but they're not panicking and they're not forcing anything.
I'd love to see him stay more aggressive offensively late in the game. I felt like they went into a shell and just essentially said, let's, you know, go, you know, power football, run it. And it didn't quite work out.
Dominating. So I don't think they felt the urgency. You know
what
I mean?
You also were curious what the hell happened at the end there defensively, because they were so good for so long. And then it was like, whatever Arizona wanted to do, they wanted to do. But again, you get a win on Thursday night, you're fine with it. And I was again reminded of how much I hate the new kickoff rule, because after Arizona scored, what was there, 30 seconds left on the clock? 36, whatever.
35,
and you don't kick it to the landing zone, and you give Seattle the ball
at the 40.
At the 40-yard line, and you're one completion away, and hey, guess what? There you go, game-winning field goal. I hate the new kickoff rule.
Welcome to the party, pal. I hate the new kickoff. I think it's so dumb.
It is so stupid. In those end-of-game situations,
it makes it way too easy for the offense.
You cannot allow them to have only make one play. Like, if you're on your own 20-yard line, and you make a 40-yard completion, or a 40, like, tip of the cap, dude. You're now in field goal range. Hell of a play. But if you're on the 40 and you just need a first down and you're within field goal range for these guys now,
yes.
It's such a dumb way to end a game.
I mean, I'm serious. Go look. So you're not wrong. The 22-yard pass, if you're on the 20, you're still at your own 40. Like,
yes, you still need two or three more plays, or at least one more.
The clock is still an issue, and you only had, the one timeout? So
yeah.
I've been with you on every game involving the new kickoff rule. I absolutely hate it. Seahawks get a good Road win. Good moment for Seattle. The dumper, the division, the Seahawks.
Oh, they're feeling good up there, yeah.
Fired the storm coach. Huskies might get a big
M's
win.
M's clinched they're out of the wild card. They are definitely
they're
at
getting
least
a bye,
the
right?
two seed into the division
there
series.
There you go. Great moment for Seattle.
You know they're focused after two nights of champagne celebration they won last
night. They played the Rockies.
Yeah.
Do you need to be focused to
beat
the Rockies?
No, you don't. I think I could get three hits against the Rockies.
I like your point.
Still,
but it's the Rockies.
I've seen the Rockies play a lot this year.
If it was the Mets,
sure,
I'd be with you.
Hey, the Mets are going to pull this thing out of the fire.
Insert literally any other team in Major League Baseball and say I'll be right there with you. 100%. The Colorado Rockies?
So bad.
No, thank you.
Oh, it's more just about they actually have the wherewithal to focus for nine innings.
Let's get to some more NFL. We'll get to some college. We obviously have a lot to talk about in the college world, but let's talk some more NFL next.
So Sprague Line on a Sprague Line Friday coming up at 9:30. So get those Spraguing the Line sponsors. Make fun of me as much as you want at 503-864-6326.
I had a dream that Michael Penix got benched for Kirk Cousins last night. That was a very bizarre dream. And I don't know if it's going to be deja vu, but that is a sneaky great game, that Commanders-Falcons game.
Did I get butt-cracked on the Raheem Morris quote? Did you see that about Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix?
I believe that's a real
quote. That's a real quote where he basically was like, Kirk Cousins sucked, and that's why, I mean, I'm paraphrasing.
I don't think he said sucks, but yeah.
He was like, Penix is a game. Kirk Cousins played his way out of the job or something along those lines.
I believe that was a real quote, which I think you have to at that point. Right?
I mean, you can't. That was still one of the bigger head-scratchers. There were so many surprising things that happened in sports last weekend, them losing and getting blown out and shut out by the Carolina Panthers.
Nothing.
And when you go back and look, too, the crazy thing about it is go back and look at, like, the overall box score of that game.
It's,
they dominated every category. They won, and they lost 30-0.
They had a pick six. There was another pick in there. Their defense couldn't get timely stops. It was like a snowball effect there, but the Commanders appear to be getting Jaden Daniels back. He was cleared by doctors.
I mean, the GOAT's undefeated. I don't know why he wouldn't ride a hot hand in a revenge game against the Atlanta Falcons, but, you know, what do I know?
They could win that game with Mariota.
They absolutely could.
I wouldn't dismiss the idea of it, but it's a pretty pivotal one for Atlanta because they went from, like, oh, you beat Minnesota, Sunday Night Football, good defense, to 30-0. Panthers, you're 1-2.
Just what? Where did that come from? One of these is not like the other.
We'll see if my dream becomes a reality of Penix getting benched. I don't know why that was in my dream. I counted six duds. Six games that personally for me, I have almost no interest. So if your fandom's attached to this, don't take this personal.
Yes.
But just as a...
In the NFL this weekend, you have six duds?
Right. Like you could say, you could add to this too, by the way. I'm being fair here.
Okay.
You could throw my team's game in there, the Niners-Jags game. You could absolutely call that a dud. Like, why would you care about watching the Jags? The Niners have... Maybe Brock Purdy. The whole thing is weird. I don't know who's healthy anymore. Ayuk is never coming back. So, like, it's all been great.
The Niners are the most hopeless 3-0 team of all time.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good
There has never been a more hopeless 3-0 team than the San Francisco 49ers.
So, here are my duds. Are you ready?
Yeah. All right, I'm following.
These games, to me, I feel like I know who the winner's going to be, and I have no interest
in it. You'll check a score in the third quarter just to make sure nothing goofy's going on.
It'll flash the red zone, and I'll go, oh, that game's happening. That's right. Yeah. Saints-Bills.
Yes.
Browns-Lions.
Yes.
Panthers-Patriots.
Ugh.
Titans-Texans. I don't care if the Texans win. They are not fun to watch.
No. It's a zero combined wins in that game.
Jets-Dolphins. Bengals-Broncos. And those last two are Monday Night Football games.
Yeah, this is one of the worst Monday Night Football nights that I can remember. To have a doubleheader and have both games be terrible, it's one thing to at least give me, like, if you're going to give me Jets-Dolphins, can I at least get a game with a pulse in the second half of that? And I don't, after what happened in Cincinnati last week, I'm not too interested in it. I think the angle there is Denver desperately needs a win. Denver falling to 1-3 would be a disastrous start for them.
Oh, my God, to the Browning Bengals.
So they desperately need a win. So that's the only one just because of the pressure that they're facing and the conversation that we had on them coming into the year. That's the only one I'll slightly disagree
with. Did you say Vikings-Steelers?
No, I'm not. I mean, it's not going to be aesthetically fun, but that's a big game.
It's bright and early on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Dublin.
That's the Dublin game.
I wake up for the Dublin games.
Oh,
I get
I'll
up
be
for
up.
The European games.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I.
That has the potential to be a dud.
Has there been a more reverse what their records are based on how you feel than Bengals Broncos? One's 2-1 and one's 1-2, and I don't feel like that's right.
That one of the worst losses of the year for the Bengals.
Total snoozer. They're lucky that there's no.
Can I add one more?
Ooh, what are you going
to
do?
Dude, you could, again, I'm going to throw one. You
I'm going to throw
Niners,
one more in here.
Jags, you could do.
Niners-Jags is probably one, although if Brock Purdy returns, I guess there's a slight interest there of, you know, I don't know. What do they look like with Brock Purdy?
I think I know which one you're going to pick because I almost did it, but I'm just curious to see the bounce back effect.
I am there with Bears and Raiders.
Yeah, see, that was a game I would bet you would have picked, and the only reason
I don't think the Raiders are good and I don't think the Bears are good.
That's totally fine to have that opinion. I'm not going to even argue it.
Sure.
I would just say, what is the takeaway if Caleb has another good game, but this one's on the road?
Yeah.
And then Raiders aren't out of anything if they can get this win, and that Bears defense ain't amazing.
No, they're not out of anything. If whoever wins is not out because you're at 500. I do think for the other side, it's an eliminator to be 1-3 for each of those teams.
That looks like
in the divisions
game,
they play into, like you're cooked if you're 1-3.
That game, there's always one that ends up being some weird shootout.
It's like a 1-point spread. I mean, that's,
it is that, but like this has the potential to be like a score fest.
Yeah, and I'm also
like
just
big plays going on and weird stuff and turnovers.
Over-unders are only 47.5.
I mean, I could see the Raiders. Yeah, you know, unleashing some moon balls there. I would say too on Caleb. Like I also. He was awesome last weekend. I think any quarterback with a pulse can be awesome against the Dallas Cowboys. Now,
it was his best game of his career.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Like, he looked great. But the 2 weeks previous to that, he barely threw for 200 yards, and they got smoked by the Lions, and he was terrible against the Vikings in the opening night. And those are two good teams. Those are good defenses.
Yes.
So he might have another good game. But I think for Caleb, there's the idea of, like, at some point, you got to do it against one of those kind of teams. And I don't necessarily put the Raiders in that category. They just got shredded by Mariota and the Commanders last week. Gave up almost 50 points in that game.
I'm pretty jacked for this game, and why are these people lying about what's happening this weekend in this matchup? I'll tell you what game I'm talking about, and the one you're obviously excited for, the biggest game of the week, and that, man, I think everybody's going to find a television for this one.
Ooh.
So we'll get to that coming up next. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we all knew we'd be glued to the game when we looked at the schedule, and I'm looking forward to it because there's a lot riding on it. That Cole, that Ram game is absolutely this weekend the one that we've all circled, right?
Yeah, for me, it's fascinating, and we got Sprague in the line coming up at the end of the show. I have looked at that line all week. Should I take the bait? Do I take the Colts getting points? Like I don't know where to go.
You're such a degenerate.
I know. I got problems.
Bring a hook.
Getting a hook. I'm getting a hook, and the Colts are playing great.
What's
the Rams
the
are coming off a tough emotional loss. Don't get me started on that. I still haven't recovered. I don't know what to. Are the Colts good? Are we ready for the Colts to be good?
They haven't been 3-0 since 2009. They haven't been 4-0 since 2009.
They've punted one time in three games.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
There's one question. Can they stop the run? Can they keep Jonathan Taylor from
Dude, he's been unreal.
Slicing and dicing on first down?
The one thing about the Colts that I think I've said this on the show, and I've definitely told Dirt during a commercial break, I put them as one of my bottom five NFL teams to start the year. Whoopsies. Way wrong. Sorry.
Oh, I was thinking about hammering the under there after some of that crap in the preseason.
But what we overlooked, which was stupid by us, and any Colt fan could
Taylor didn't play in the preseason, did he?
No. It's not. We didn't. No. Would you let me finish a sentence? Who cares about the preseason? They were 9-8 last year.
I mean, they've been that way the last 2 years. They've been a play away from it. Gardner Minshew and Joe Flacco nearly got him in the playoffs the last 2 years.
My point is, like, some of us acted like they were a 5-win team last year. And, you know, he just might be a really good coach who's overcome a terrible general manager. And I don't know how real it is, but if you get a road win at the Rams, that's definitely going to go a long way. No, in all seriousness, Ravens-Chiefs.
It's a massive game. Just huge. Just massive.
Yeah.
It's 1-2 teams who are in desperation mode. I would say for the Chiefs, because of their division, I fear their division a little bit more than what I fear what's going on in the AFC North. So not that either of them can't dig out of a 1-3 hole because of their pedigree and their quarterback play. But just for Baltimore to have the season and the start that they've had and go on the road to be a slight favorite in that game in Kansas City, it's very rare for Mahomes to ever be an underdog, let alone at home. And now it's
happened. He didn't cover the last time he was a home underdog.
He did not. They were underdogs against the Eagles, and they did not cover. And so it's just that's a unique one for me, man. Seeing what Baltimore can do to bounce back, can their defense figure it out?
Can Henry not fumble?
Can Henry not fumble for a fourth game in a row? There's just so much pressure on each side, and you wouldn't have thought that out of the gate at week one, talking about that matchup. You would think, oh, maybe this is an AFC title preview, and instead you're in desperation mode kind of in week four.
Are you ready to dismiss the idea that that's what this is?
I'm not, no. More so with Kansas City than Baltimore, again, because of the division. Like, if Baltimore falls to 1-3, who are you terrified of in the AFC North? And maybe people aren't.
Does Pittsburgh beat the Vikings? Do the Bengals somehow sneak?
I know.
Trust the Bengals, but, like, what if they do beat Denver on the road? It's like, what am I to make of that?
I mean, Browning nearly got him in the playoffs a couple of years ago. Like, we've seen that movie before, right? And maybe people aren't there with the Chargers. So, to be fair, you might feel this way, too, about the AFC West, because Vegas has certainly not looked intimidating, and Denver's below 500, but that's more of like the Chargers are playing a rookie quarterback this weekend. Do they cover a 6.5-point spread? I don't know, but I'd be surprised if they lost that game, considering it's Dart's first start. So if they move to 4-0 and you're 1-3, that's where I think that panic comes in. Not that they can't make a run and make it as a wild card, but to be three games back of the division a month into the year, that's a huge mountain to climb.
Yeah, because the wild card has expanded, I feel it might be ridiculous to ask you, the team that you don't think can fall to 1-3, or the team most likely to not make the playoffs if they fall to 1-3?
Of the Ravens and Chiefs, or anybody included?
Because that is a massive tilt, but their records look so odd, given what we've... Well, Baltimore should be 3-0. They choked away the Bill game.
Yeah, they had no business losing that game.
They had no business losing... You know what?
That's not fair for Monday night. Yeah.
2-1.
Yeah, the Bills game is...
The Lions were really great.
Rarefied air to lose that opener in Buffalo.
Yeah, so that's historic collapse stuff. Like, 2-1 at a minimum. The Chiefs kind of feel like a 1-2 team to me. They didn't play well at all against the Chargers.
No.
And... You know, Mahomes was good, but they don't look nearly the Eagle level. So
no.
Them being 1-2 seems about right. But I also know how many people are probably going to fade a Lamar Jackson and the Ravens because they choke games away, because Derrick Henry's fumbling. There's this weird thing about Lamar as a starting quarterback that I just never, I guess, understand as a sports fan. So there's going to be a lot of Chiefs, I think, action coming in since they're a home dog. But of the two teams... The one that can't afford to go to 1-3 the most is who?
I would say Kansas City, and I know that's a laughable take for some because it's Mahomes, and you never bet against Mahomes, and look at his track record, and I get all of that. But I just look at what I've seen from the two teams 3 weeks in. Now, the caveat with this is Kansas City will eventually get healthy at wide receiver, so he'll have help.
Yeah, Worthy and Rice are coming back
Who
soon.
Do I feel like has been the better team through 3 weeks?
Baltimore, it's not close.
Right? And Baltimore's defense has problems. Yeah. But in a game like this weekend, is Kansas City's offense set up to capitalize on that?
I don't know if Kansas City's defense is set up to slow that offense
down. That's where
it's a home game.
They get help with wide receivers down the road, and they turn it around, and maybe they get hot and go on a run late. But I have more faith in the roster of Baltimore right now than I do the roster of Kansas City, and so I would say I'd be more terrified if I were a Chiefs fan.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it just because being 1-2, both of them, but what is that? Is that a Romo Nance game?
That is the Romo Nance game.
The 125 special?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of a two-game window there in the 1 o'clock window.
Is that on our
Actually,
TV?
No, you got Eagles-Bucks at the same time. I always forget my...
It's ours is 3 hours ahead.
My computer's on
is
Eastern Time.
Is that on
time
our
still.
Local CBS standalone, the Ravens-Chief game?
I'm going to check the list.
Are they shoving the Chargers down my throat? Or I
don't
somebody
The Chargers play in the early window, so you don't got to worry about that. You could get Niners and Jags on CBS.
No, that's a Fox game.
Oh, that's a Fox game? Okay. Yeah. So it's that or Bears and Raiders in the late window.
I mean, I might throw my television out a window if locally we've picked up Bears.
The 1 o'clock window for us is one where if you get them both, just dual screen Colts and Rams and Ravens and Chiefs, because I don't have a ton of interest in Jags and 49ers, and I don't have a ton of interest in Bears and Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, look.
That's the four games in that afternoon window, and Ravens, totally Chiefs, and Colts and Rams, far more interesting to me.
Swag's looking up if we have, you can't find it, Swag? The local...
Oh, I got to go through 17 damn verifications to get into the...
Just to find out which what?
Exactly.
We'll find that out, and hopefully it's a standalone on our local CBS, because Ravens, Chiefs, to me, is like must-watch television every time you play.
Yes, huge game.
We'll get to it a little bit later. There's some more NFL meat on the bone here. The Packers and Cowboys poo-pooing this whole Micah Parsons return thing. I don't think the Cowboys are good. I already have a bet in on the Packers -6.5. This whole Dak poo-pooing, it's not me versus Micah. Get out of here, dude. It's all they're going to sell on Sunday Night Football's pregame coverage. It's so stupid.
It's the return of Micah Parsons,
no,
man.
No, it's not, dude. It's okay. just Cowboys-Packers, man.
Ravens-Chiefs will be the afternoon game on CBS.
There we go. There we go.
Be on the big
screen. Standalone big screen.
Chargers-Giants at 10.
Okay, that's not a bad little double dip.
And
local second hour that we'll keep up with here. We'll keep it on the local level. Oregon State.
Yeah, Beavs got a game tonight.
Now, we'll get to Oregon-Penn State. We've got a lot of Oregon-Penn State. We have almost talked no Beaver-Houston game.
Friday Night Lights in Corvallis.
Yes, we got Friday Night Lights in Corvallis, Oregon, USA. Houston coming to town, 2-touchdown favorite. Is this the game, or is Oregon State going to suck, lose, and we'll just continue to move on and act as if everything's normal? Loaded second hour, Dirt and Sprague. Hour number two, 105.1, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.